Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday night edition of The Scoreboard. You are joining Jazz and Miss Tony. Jazz, how you doing?
I'm all right. What's going on, baby? I'm glad to be back, man.
Aw, you sound like you're still a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, I had a little sickness, you know what I'm saying, but you know, we're gonna make it happen. You know what I'm saying? I'm good. I'm better than I was last week. Last week was terrible.
Oh, well, that's good. You know, us ladies held it down. I had the lovely Miss Alicia join me last Tuesday.
Wow.
And then the ladies in the house talking nothing but snack and voice.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. I would have loved to hear that. That wasn't that.
You can always check out the archive. But it's so good to have you back and on the up and up as far as your wellness. And we're going to make it happen this evening.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to get into. Absolutely.
Yes, we do. Well, before we do that, I'd like to once again welcome everybody to The Scoreboard with Jazz and Tony. I'm going to pay some bills, Jazz. Is that okay?
Oh, that's great. Got to pay the bills, man. Got to keep the lights on.
We absolutely can. I just want to remind all our listeners that we have some new books out. Publisher Miss Minnie Capri. I want you guys to make sure you one-click Devious Deception by S. Chameleon and Malicious Intent by the one and only author Boo Jackson. Now, I'm a new Boo Jackson fan, you know, and I've actually read Malicious Intent, and I'm reading Devious Deception again. So those are two great books that you might want to get into your library. And also, coming into 2015 in January, Nene is dropping the long-anticipated P-Trap 4. Oh, my God, Jazz, if you haven't read Nene's P-Trap, you do not know what you're missing.
No, it's a bomb burner.
Oh, my God, that's just a classic. There are so many trappers out there worldwide. You gotta get on the bandwagon, Jazz. Trust me. Once you get trapped, you can't go back. You gotta do that. And all of them, you know, maybe you want to head over to Nene's Facebook page and read a little hot sizzle excerpt that she has between Miss Coco and Mr. K-Son. You gotta read that. Are you on Facebook yet, Jazz?
You know, I'm sad. This weekend, you know, I gotta admit, because I was a little under weather, I wasn't able to take care of that. I'm gonna take care of it this week, but I am on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. Let everybody know your handle.
I am on Twitter at Mr. Jazz 620 at Twitter.
Jazz 620. 2020 at Twitter.
Absolutely. I'm not sure if I'm okay. Am I saying that right?
Well, we're going to find out. You can also follow Jazz. In addition to following Jazz, you can follow me at Mrs. Tony_Doe. That is my, you know, little Twitter account. Thanks to the Miss Lovely Alicia. She got me into this social media thing. So, you know, I got to take it in baby steps, too.
Yeah. She, you know, she on the brother back, man. I must admit, she on the brother back, man.
She knows
she
her playing. Stuff.
But she ain't playing.
She knows her. She knows her stuff. But in addition to those three books, Malicious Intent, Devious Deception, and The P-Trap by the one and only Nene Kaflee, also check out George Sherman Hudson and Shauna D's Facebook page because they've been putting out some hits also, hit after hit after hit. So make sure you head on over there and see what else is happening. So, Jazz, we're
What's
on our there? Final 3 weeks of the NFL regular season.
Absolutely.
Who do you think will move on?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna say this. I know you heard before we get into that. I know you heard about Cam Newton.
Yes. This morning
okay,
he was in a was it this morning or late last night a car accident?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a question for you. Would you play him or would you sit him for the rest of the year?
He's with the Lions, right?
He's with the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Now you know I'm still new to this football thing.
I hadn't heard
the extent of his injuries. I just heard that he was in a car accident and he didn't want to actually go to the hospital, but they took him anyway, I believe.
Well, he is you know Tony Romo, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The back injury that he has, that's the same injury Cam Newton has.
Mm, okay.
And Romo was out for a couple weeks. So, you know, they're not saying whether they want to sit him or play him. But they're two games out of playoffs. And that's why I asked you the question. With three games left, you still got a chance to win your division. Do you play him?
Mm-hmm.
Would you play him?
Mm. Mm. First of all, is this his first major injury to this extent?
I would say his
body
yes.
is otherwise healthy,
yes.
right?
Absolutely.
And Tony Romo plays with so many pads. You know, he
yeah,
actually
yeah.
spoke
so,
about
yeah.
that injury.
Well, and remember, Tony, if you remember correctly, Tony had a week off in between that. So after he got hurt, he had the next week off. Then he played in London. So he had a week off in between. So, like I said, you know, are you more of a, would you err on the side of caution or would you try to win the division at all costs?
I would err on the side of caution because not only do you want to win the division, but you want to continue on. You know, and if he plays this weekend, he hasn't had a full week as far as recovery. And at the level that he plays, body needs to rest and heal.
Would you have him maybe take practice and see how he goes, or would you just instantly sit him on a bench and tell him to shut it down for the year? Because he's young. He's relatively young, and he is your franchise quarterback. So are you thinking more long-term, for the next 10 years, or are you thinking, I need to win the division now? Because Tony Romo's 32. Cam's 24, 25, maybe 26, maybe. So you're talking
nice
about.
Call. That's a hard call to make, Jazz. You put me on the spot. You know, I'm going to err on the side of caution because I may sit him out this first game and see how he is the next game.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Because, you know, I just can't see him going in and getting hurt and possibly ending up then more than it is now.
He could get worse.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then what? Now you stuck with your franchise quarterback may not ever be 100% ever again.
And you know why these
injuries, they
just going back, because you know I got to stick my New York teams in, even though we're like on the bottom of the totem pole,
and I say that
so solemnly.
Yes. It should be.
But you know I have faith in my New York teams. But I'm just thinking back to when Sanchez was playing an exhibition game, and he was out there with not his starting team, and he got hurt.
Absolutely.
And he was in a meaningless game, and first of all, why was he in there? So you don't want to take that chance and get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely right.
That's just my take on it.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel the same way. There's no reason why you risk his injury. There's no reason why you risk his health on a chance that you might win your division, because the NFC South is atrocious this year. So I don't think you should risk it just to win a division when if this is your guy, if he's your franchise quarterback, then you need to do everything that you can to keep him healthy.
Uh-huh.
If that means you got to sit him for the rest of the year and start off the new year healthy, I'd rather do that than to end up with a scenario like RG3 in Washington, where you rush back and he's not 100% and he's not performing to the stature he was before the injury.
Right.
You don't want to end up with another one, because then you get fired. Then the coach gets fired. Everybody gets fired.
Right, and that's just an ugly situation with the Redskins. It's just ugly. You know, I don't, even though I'm new to this league, I definitely did not see that coming.
Well, guess who's starting next week?
On which team?
RG3, yes. He's starting next week. That's the report. That's the reports going around, and he will start next week.
After being taken out of the starting position,
absolutely,
he's going to start next week.
Absolutely.
What are they doing down there in D.C.? What are they doing?
The only thing I could think of is that they're trying to shop him for a trade, maybe see who's interested, because they did the same thing with Kirk Cousins earlier this year. So, you know, you play him a little bit, let people see him, see if he's 100%, see who's interested. There are a couple teams that need quarterbacks, and maybe you could finagle a trade during the offseason so that you don't have to cut him. But I really believe that RG3, his days are numbered in Washington. It's not long. I think so, too.
And actually, you know, the Jets were in that conversation as far as, you know, being interested in RG3. I just gonna again throw out my New York team.
Well, do you think that he fits with the Jets?
I really can't say. I might say no, because, you know, in order to make it in on a team in New York, you just have to have something, you know.
Absolutely.
Not just everybody can play for a New York team. You know, a lot goes into when you come into the city of New York. And I'm not just saying that because I'm here, but it's a different environment. It's a different world as far as, you know, the New York fans are concerned. Not taking away from anybody else's fans, but it's different.
Well, you got two major sports papers. You have two major... You have the media capital of the world, depending on who you talk to. Two major newspapers, 5 million people. You're going to have a lot of opinions.
Oh yes.
So, and you can't satisfy everybody, because even when Eli won the Super Bowl, they still was criticized on the back end.
And not just one Super Bowl, two Super Bowl. He has two. The man has two rings, and he still gets, you know.
Think about it. Well, think about it. How you being a New York sports fan, you remember when the Knicks went to the finals. And Patrick Ewing, instead of dunking the ball, tried to lay it up and missed the layup, and they lost to Houston in seven. Patrick Ewing never lived that day. To this day, they still talk about that.
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. But we still have mad love for Patrick Ewing. You know,
I remember the day
he was drastic. Oh my God, I remember that day vividly. You know, it was like it hasn't been a day like that since.
Well, it's been a long time since. But you know, with Phil Jackson not being there, you know, you think that Phil would have something good to say, but according to the reports, you know, last thing he said was that New York has a losing mentality. They're back.
Yeah. Now we're gonna get on to my team, my New York Knicks.
Why you want to go into that now?
You know how I feel about Melo. First of all, Phil Jackson, his name just rings success, winning, you know, as far as he's concerned and with the sports. Now, here in New York, I think we're 4-18, the New York Knicks.
Yeah. You're pretty bad right now.
I know. You didn't have to say it twice. But anyway, we're 4-18. It's the worst first 20 games in New York Knicks history. Phil Jackson didn't see it coming. The New York fans didn't see it coming. Melo did not see it coming. You know, a lot of people criticize Melo, but those games that he sits out, you can see how much the team needs a Carmelo Anthony.
They have lost the last eight straight. I mean, the only reason why they're not in last place is because Philadelphia is in their division.
I know, but I do believe Philly has a loss of 18 games also, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, Philly, but you know what? Philly actually has won a couple games. So, if anything, I think that they're more on the upswing than the Knicks. The Knicks are terrible. The Knicks, they're old, they're rigid, and they're terrible.
Okay. I can only take for so much criticism of my Knicks, Jazz. We're going to have to step back because you know how I feel about that. We are not terrible. We're just losing.
They're bad, man. Look, it's a bad day in New York right now. It's really bad, man.
Jazz, from the first show we had, I told you, I warned you, Jazz, that no one talks bad about my Knicks.
I'm a
diehard Knicks fan. Talking bad about the Knicks.
Well, I haven't even gotten to the 49ers yet. I mean, this is bad.
You talk about Boss Lady Alicia's team, the 49ers. You're talking trash about my Knicks. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I think it was show one or two. I asked you who your favorite NFL team was, and you said it was Oakland. Okay, I hadn't even thought about Oakland until you said it. I forgot they were in the NFL league.
But guess what? They just beat the 49ers. How ironic is that?
I know. I should have Alicia call in they can do no wrong as far as Alicia and Nene is concerned. They're 49ers, and we have some 49ers fans out there. So if you're listening, call in and rep your team because you're listening to the scoreboard with Chad and Tony. And we would love for you guys to call in. I see you on the line. Pressure one. Rep your team, rep your city, and talk to Tony and Jazz. So you feel good about the huh?
Well, have you have you, did you even, well, you know Johnny Manziel is supposed to start on Sunday.
I know. He's been in the news quite a bit lately.
Yeah,
he has.
How do you feel about Johnny? How do you feel about Johnny football?
To be honest with you, I can take him or leave him. I really never followed him in college. You know, you just see the headlines. You just see the headlines. And some things in the headlines you just don't, totally agree with. Some of it's kind of childish, but all things considered, I think he had a lot of growing up to do.
Agreed.
You know, and,
absolutely.
So I'm not on the Johnny football bandwagon. I'm not sure if I may be the only one not on that bandwagon. What about you?
I mean, I didn't really. I followed Johnny on SportsCenter more than I watched college, watched his Texas A&M squad when he was there. But like I said, I followed him on ESPN more than anything else. I didn't follow college football too much, but I think that Cleveland, in my opinion, I think that Cleveland is really. You're making a mistake if I don't think that Johnny's the guy. I think that Johnny's more flash than substance. Just like I don't think that the younger quarterbacks, the Kaepernicks, the Manziels, some of the
RG3s.
Yeah, the RG3s. Those. Larger than life personalities, where they're more personality than playing ability. I don't think that they take time to understand how to play quarterback. And then when they're thrust into playing quarterback, they are successful in the beginning for a couple of years because, I mean, Kaepernick went to a Super Bowl. But they don't understand progressions. They don't understand footwork, stuff that is vital to playing quarterback, like a Russell Wilson, like a Tannehill, like, you know, some of those guys who had a lot less publicity but had better quarterback skills. And I think that, you know, Cleveland's going to end up nothing against Hoyer. Because Hoyer, for the last four games, Hoyer has been terrible. But I don't think that Johnny's the answer. I don't. But they're going to give Johnny the job because you drafted him in the first round. So you're going to give him the job because he's your guy because you drafted him in the first round. I don't think Johnny's the guy, though.
Okay. I'm going to come back to Johnny. But, you know, I was listening to you talking about these high-profile names. Quarterbacks coming out of college.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking Russell Wilson before you even said so. Now, Russell Wilson wasn't, you know, coveted or sought after as much as the ones that you mentioned. He has a work ethic that I don't see in those other guys.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Russell Wilson was either a third or a fourth round pick. He wasn't a first round pick.
I think so.
When he first came in, he earned that job in Seattle by outplaying Pat Flynn, who ended up getting, he ended up getting traded to Oakland, which is really bad for my team. But Russell outworked Matt Flynn, and when he got the job, obviously, Pete Carroll saw some things in the way he played quarterback he felt would be great for his offensive scheme. But Russell had to work for that job. That job wasn't handed to him. Whereas RG3's job was handed to him. Johnny Manziel conceivably is handed the job. Colin Kaepernick, he was handed that job. They traded Alex Smith, who was the number one overall pick, to give Kaepernick that job. they didn't have to work for these jobs. They were handed to them. That's the difference. Tannehill in Miami, he was a first-round pick, but Tannehill had to work for that job to keep it.
Okay, now back to Johnny. As far as him starting, now, do you feel that by them starting him instead of keeping him, you know, on the bench, and they want to turn around and trade him, I think the unknown as far as Johnny would have a higher sell because of the high publicity. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And for him to go into a game and see his limitations, that would take the quality of shopping him around down. What do you think about that?
Well, with Johnny is more personality than substance. Because the college Johnny, my partner on Chopping It Up at the shop, he's a Johnny guy all day, every
day. Okay.
Johnny through and through. And we constantly go back and forth about this, because my thing is, you're handing him a job off of what he did at Texas A&M when he was in an offense that was really a single read offense, which means that you read it. If the wide receiver's not open, you run. There's no progression. Uh-huh. You can't do that in the NFL. You get your ass handed to you. You do that in the NFL. There are guys in the NFL that play linebacker that will chase them down or hurt them when they catch them. This is not college. You're not playing against 19 and 20-year-olds. These grown-ass men, they get paid. They get paid by hurting you. That's how they make money. That's how they take care of their families. So because I'm not a Johnny guy, people say I'm a Johnny hater. I'm not a Johnny hater. I just don't think that. I think that you're giving him too much credit, and there's nothing to give him credit for yet as an NFL player. You know what I mean? He came into the game the other week. He ran for a touchdown, yes, but he also threw an interception, and he lost a fumble. So he had two turnovers and a touchdown. To me, that's not a good job.
No, not at all.
I wouldn't think so. But you got some people, the only thing they care about was the fact that he ran for a touchdown. That's fine. But the two turnovers, one of those turnovers turned into a touchdown. So, really, he broke even. He got one, but he gave up one. But now, let me ask you, if you were building a team, would you want a player that is more flash or more substance?
Without hesitation, I would want more substance. Because if you're doing so much flashing, obviously, you know, sometimes you have to look underneath that flash. What are they trying to make me not see by doing so much flashing, if you understand what I'm saying? You know,
absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, when you work for a position instead of just having a position handed to you, absolutely, totally different. You know, first of all, you appreciate where you are, and you're going to work hard to stay where you are. Like
absolutely.
Michael Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather have substance, definitely, over flash.
But now what about the fans? Because, you know, the fans like flash. They like the Johnny Manziels of the world. They want to see that. They want to see the guy balling, popping bottles in Vegas and all that. Excuse me, they want to see all of that.
You know, I'm a fan also, and I think, you know, it's kind of divided, because a true fan knows what it takes to win. You know, flash doesn't necessarily equate winning. So you have to start weighing your options. Do you want somebody that's constantly in the news and not necessarily always for the better, or you want somebody that's going out there doing their best to bring you a championship or winning game in and game out? So I, as a fan, and I am a fan of sports, you know, I love all things sports. I want substance. I want someone that's working hard. I want to see where my high-earned ticket prices money is going. You know, I go to these games, you spend so much money, because going to a game is not cheap. You want them to go out there and perform to the utmost.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, you want to get your money's worth, you know. But, you know, with some of these new stadiums now, as an owner, like I know here in Atlanta, as an owner, their new stadium will have, you know, the seat licensing. So, you know, you got to sell those. Sometimes flash to sell more seat licensing than substance. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree. You know, that's why you have to have that balance. You have to have that balance between flash lovers and substance lovers. And that's what fills the stadium. You know, because you go back and forth with the debate. I love going back and forth. You have to have both in order to, you know, fill up a stadium.
I agree. I can agree with that.
Absolutely. We're going to take a commercial break. Once again, you're listening to The Scoreboard with Tony and Jazz. We're talking all things sports. And if you're on the line, because I see you all on the line, press your run, represent your team, your city, and talk some sports smack with Jazz and Tony. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
All right.
It's the one and only the boss lady, Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
When a skillful marksman is handed a difficult mark, she battles between love and death. Erica, the beautifully sexy yet deadly trigger, has come face to face with a person she cannot kill. But in reality, she cannot allow her to survive. Unstable friendships and loyalty will be tested as passion and revenge slide comfortably into its place. Author Boo Jackson takes you on a thrill ride and poses the question, what do you do when you're torn between what's right and what's wrong? What's real and what's fantasy? Sanity and insanity will fight for a position on the throne as she brings to life the darkened heart behind Malicious Intent. Malicious Intent by author Boo Jackson. Available at Boss Lady Publishing. Check it out. They call themselves the Dope Girls, and they quickly find out what a dope girl once loved about the game could now turn deadly. Their envied friendships is threatened with quick money, and betrayal seeps into the cracks of their bond, crumbling their foundation with hate. The saying, keep your enemies close and your friends even closer, would have worked if the friends they thought they had not ultimately become the enemies. You never know who could be waiting in the cut to take your spot. Fall into the pages of F. Chameleon as she shows you just how devious deception can be. Devious Deception by author F. Chameleon. Available at Boss Lady Publishing. Check it out.
Welcome back to The Scoreboard with Jazz and Tony. We're talking all things sports. You back with me, Jazz?
Absolutely. I'm right here.
Okay. Well, it looks like we have a caller with the hand raised. Do you mind taking the call?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to take 504-273. You're on with The Scoreboard with Jazz and Tony. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, you guys, this is Authoress Linnea.
How you doing?
Linnea, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I have to call in and, of course, rep my team, the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, no. We have to do it.
No, I'm just a diehard Saints fan. And
okay.
So we're having it rough this season.
Well,
I just have to see.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that y'all can still win the division?
I mean, the division is for anybody right now, period.
Mm-hmm.
The only people I will say really don't that have the slightest chance will be Tampa Bay. But
absolutely.
Between Atlanta, Carolina, and the Saints, I mean, it's anybody's division. Now, do I think anybody deserves to go? No. I feel like they're just holding up a spot that somebody else could utilize. But, you know, that's how it goes. I mean,
well,
I don't see any team that's prepared. You know what I'm saying? There's no team that's prepared. I mean, they're going to – whoever wins the division is going to earn the bye, you know. So they kind of automatically probably going to advance to the second round. But, I mean
– No, you won't get a bye.
The team, huh?
No, you won't get a bye. Whoever wins that division, they have to play a wild card game.
Right. But, I mean – how should I say? Well, you're right. We won't get the bye. But what I'm saying is that out the whole division, you only have the Saints and maybe Carolina who have beat somebody in Atlanta, beat one team outside of the NFC South. So
I agree.
There, it shows that you're not even prepared for the next level because you have the Cardinals at 10-3, and they have people, you know, you have teams with well over 500% that's fighting to get spots.
Absolutely.
And then you have the NFC South, well, nobody over 500, and yet it's still amazingly a fight for somebody
well,
to get a spot.
Well, you know, it comes down to when Atlanta comes to New Orleans, when Atlanta comes out to New Orleans, that's for the division. Carolina, really, with Cam Newton getting hurt, to me, they're out of the picture at this point. Because to me, you got to sit Cam. If you sit Cam, they can't win because they have no running
right.
game. So
right.
it comes down to that game in New Orleans between Atlanta and New Orleans. Whoever wins that game wins the division. It's that simple. But the fact that the Saints, you guys have lost the last three games in the Superdome. Doesn't make if you're a true Saints fan, you know it doesn't make you feel good knowing that y'all went from never losing at home to now losing the last three at home.
Right. Right, and it's crazy because there is no consistency, and that's what I don't see with us. As a team, there's no consistency from week to week. When the Packers
mm-hmm.
came, we had a doggone, you know, you could almost say a perfect game in the dome.
Absolutely.
And it was like, okay, we didn't address the issues, everything's okay. Then we come back
mm-hmm.
and we lose two. Then we go
Absolutely.
Back to Pittsburgh and we show out in Pittsburgh. And it was on the road. So everybody like, okay, we got this. And then
mm-hmm.
we see this, I just don't know another word, this travesty in the Dome on Sunday where absolutely nothing worked, you know, like, I mean, nothing. And it's crazy because the only consistent thing I can say, and I hate to say it, but the only consistent thing I have seen all season just about is Drew Brees throwing an interception every game.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
you know, it's ironic you say that because I have Drew Brees on my fantasy team, and this week he put up 14.7 points. And
right.
that is really bad, and I was really upset about that. But I still won my game, by the way. Absolutely. But let me ask you this. Since you are a New Orleans fan, do you think that Sean Payton may be replaced?
don't think, at this point, I don't know if it's the coaches or if it's just the players, because I said this on Facebook earlier. A lot of people want Rob Ryan gone. But my thing is, I don't think it's anything wrong with his defensive scheme. As a defensive coach, I can teach you how to tackle. I can teach you about blown coverages. But I can't stop you from getting beat on the field. If you're just too slow, that's something I can't do nothing about. That's all in the player. And to me, especially in our secondary, you have people who are trying to cover people, and it's just too slow.
Yeah, but you remember when y'all went to – but remember when y'all went to the Super Bowl. After y'all went to the Super Bowl that year, y'all changed a lot. Y'all let Roman Harper go. Y'all let a couple of other – y'all let Keon Clark go. Y'all let some guys go that right now you really need that leadership in the locker room to say, hey, let's make it happen. And I think that when you look at New Orleans, they don't really have a guy who is outside of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. They have the talent. I just don't think that they have the leadership to lead them to the place where they should be. There's no reason why in the NFC South, when you have an offense like New Orleans, an offense like Atlanta, and a defense like Carolina, and nobody is even close to 500. That just doesn't make sense to me.
I think the issue is this, and I see this personally just in the NFC South. There is no secondary. Nobody seems to have, even in Carolina, there is a lack in their secondary to me. The Saints definitely don't have a secondary. So even, to me, we need a major overhaul on defense altogether, because
I agree.
Even with the leadership, I'm seeing people that are right there on the quarterback for the sack, and they falling before they can actually complete the tackle. And if you can't complete a tackle in football, that is a huge problem. You have when a pass game to me is worse than a run game. Because if you have the front guarding them first 10, but you have a man that's able to throw 50 yards down the field and he's confident that the safety or the cornerback is going to get beat, you self-defeating your – because the run don't even matter no more. Because if I could pass 50 yards versus running 10, I'm going to beat you every time. But you have just offenses and defenses themselves that are not thinking. Even as good as a player as Drew Brees is, he is – He's gotten to the point he doesn't want to take the sack. So what are we doing to avoid the sack? You shuffle passing. And what you're doing is you shuffle passing right into the defender's hands. I've seen it on more than one occasion where he just don't want to accept the sack. Or he's throwing balls so high you have people trying to beat Air Jordan to come down with it. But it's just all over the NFC South that none of them seem to have that leadership itself on offense or defense where somebody is going to take ownership and really say, it just seems like everybody's doing their own thing. If I catch the ball, I catch it. If I don't, I don't. You tell me go right, I'm going left. It's just total disorganization. And until, I don't know if it needs new coaching staff or – you have to look at the draft, because I'm sure everybody in NFC going to have guaranteed spots up there at the top in a draft.
Absolutely.
It's going to really come down to how they use it. You know, they got the high spots. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I will say, I thought that because the Saints were going to the Panthers this weekend and Atlanta was going to Green Bay, honestly, I felt like the Saints should beat the Panthers, Atlanta should lose to Green Bay, and the Saints would be one up, and then that way y'all could ride it and possibly win the division, even if you lose to Atlanta.
Like you won't do that. I mean, well, now that Cam Newton is hurt, I don't want to say it like that. It looks like there may be an opportunity there, because out of everybody, really, to me, in my opinion, Carolina had the easiest schedule for the rest of the division. I mean, for the rest of the
Carolina's back two. They back two with three to play.
Right, and they have like Tampa Bay, and I forgot the other two teams they have, but it's not very tough games compared to what Atlanta and New Orleans have. So to me, they would have been, if I had to pick somebody, to be honest, I would have picked them. And, you know, but with Cam Newton's injury, no telling. Uh-huh. And that's another thing that the NFC South had, you know, like with the other team, they have backup quarterbacks, you know what I mean? But you never really see, the only time you really see a backup quarterback or even hear about a backup quarterback in the NFC South is if you know the starting quarterback is hurt. I mean, I'll be honest, I love football, but I don't know who Atlanta's second string quarterback is.
Yeah.
I don't know who second string. They need that. They need that, too. Like, they don't even look at what happens when one gets hurt, because
I know that Carolina has Derek Anderson, who used to be the starter in Cleveland. They have him as a backup in Carolina. But in Atlanta, I'm not sure. And with the Saints, I'm not sure, because it's one of those things where until they're called upon, you don't know, and you really don't care. Nobody cared who backed up. Nobody cared who backed up RG3 until RG3 got hurt.
True. And, like, I see that as a problem, though. You know what I'm saying? I really see that as a problem, because look at RG3. I mean, at this point, I think, I hate to say, he's going to become like a Michael Vick. I don't think he's really going to see a starting position. And if he do see a starting position, I don't think he'll see it for very long. Because I think he came back far too early after that knee injury trying to be super guy, I guess. And he hasn't played well since he hurt his knee. He's been
You got to protect your spot. And in RG3's defense, I would say, as a football player, you are more, if you're not playing, then it's a greater possibility that you may lose your job. So if I'm RG3, I got to get back, because they drafted Kirk Cousins in the same draft that they drafted RG3. So if I'm RG3, I'm like, yo, my job, I could lose my job without even playing anymore.
I feel that, but now he playing, and it looks like he's going to lose his job anyway. I mean, because you're not 100%. So what you doing, and, you know, it's one thing for you to sit on the bench and be hurt, but the only way you truly going to look bad is when you go out there and make yourself look bad. And
I agree.
It would have looked much better for him to be hurting on the sideline, because at least he would have had, you know, the practice or whatever to get back acclimated. But you just going out there and doing what you're doing now, you could have just let Cousins play it, because at least if Cousins would have played it, the coach would have still had in the back of his mind, why I got RG3. But you come out and you showed him that you can't handle this job, you're going to lose it anyway. You're going to end up cheating, and you're going to be a second-string quarterback somewhere waiting on the starter now to get hurt.
Yeah, if you remember correctly, when he first had his knee injury, that off-season, when he kept wearing those shirts that say day one and stuff like that, they were saying that in the team facility, they were like, dude, RG3 may not be ready. And they said that him and Snyder basically was like, look, fuck that. He ready. Because they filled the whole stadium because RG3 was supposed to be playing game one. Day one, game one. So whether he was ready or not, technically, you have basically set yourself up. If you're ready or not, you still got to go out there. Because if you don't, you look like a fool.
But also, you know, Jazz, and then you decrease the chances of your team going out there at, you know, at 100%. So how can you expect the guy to get a win when you're going out there and your quarterback is hurt?
Right, and for me, that speaks to leadership skills. That's
exactly.
That goes to being a captain and being a leader. Part of a leader is knowing your limits and when it's just in the best, you know, when it's in the best interest of the team for you to sit down and sit it out. And, you know, a lot of these players go out here and they play with these concussions and they play in my head. I mean, I can't knock them because that means they have a firework ethic. I'm not going to knock them for that. But at the same time, you have to think about how fair are you being to your other teammates, because if you're not at 100%, somebody got to pick up your slack. So RG3 going out there, and now you can't keep the offense on the field because you can't convert. Now you overworking the defense.
Absolutely.
Now you got the defense on the field. So you working everybody else on the team just to make your name. Because I believe if I was a coach, I would want a substance quarterback over a flash, because if my quarterback is of enough substance, the flash is going to come.
You're right.
If he at 115% passer rating every week, he's gonna get noticed eventually.
Exactly.
So the flash is gonna come. So don't even worry about the flash. But what RG3 is doing, trying to get the flash and the substance, he's not of any substance. And now, look what's happening. The flash is diminishing. You're not feeling the beat. It's the opposite effect.
You're absolutely right. Well, I just want to thank you so much for calling in and repping your team. You did it so well.
Absolutely.
You got
and
it.
I would say the Saints are gonna win, but I'm from Atlanta, so I gotta say Atlanta's gonna win.
You know what? The way they playing, I'm still gonna go for the Saints too.
Hey, if you saw the game last night, you saw Julio put up 258 yards. Now don't sleep.
And I was not mad at him. He a little mouthy for me, but hey, I gotta give him his props when he do his thing.
Yo, he beasted for real.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, obviously. I'm gonna
thank you, and call back anytime.
All right, you guys have a good one.
You too, baby.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
That was awesome. She's passionate about her Saints, huh, Jazz?
You know, hey, everybody should be. You know, it's that's why football is, to me, the most popular sport in the country, because no matter who you repping, no matter what your team is, you always believe that they got a chance.
Absolutely. We have another hand up. You want to take another call, Jazz?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take 360-451. You're on with the School Ball with Jazz and Tony. What's your name and what team are you repping?
Hey, Tony, it's Jane Pinella, and you know I'm repping my Packers.
Here we go.
Yes, I'll just leave you alone because I was going to talk to you until I heard you start talking. So, you know, but yes, Mr. Jones, he did it. He did it up. It was great what he did last night. I ain't going to lie. But Packers going to Super Bowl.
Hey, you know what? I'm with life. You. My only question to you is, you had to admit, as a Packer fan, I work with Packer fans. You had to be a little nervous that Jones was absolutely unstoppable, and the game was actually very close at the end.
Definitely in the third quarter, I said, "Oh Lord, here we go," because I thought, and then when they went in the fourth quarter and it got to 7-10 and whatever, but yeah, definitely, it was a very good game, I thought. But I'm a good worker and I'm a good loser. So I just rep Packers for life and want them to win. If they don't, that's okay too. But I don't want the Dirty Birds to win. Hey.
I have a question for you. You're diehard Packers.
Yes.
So my question to you is, Packers going to Super Bowl, correct?
That's what I'm talking about.
Who are they playing?
Well, you know, I live in Seattle. Well, I live outside of Seattle, but I've never been a Sixers fan.
Wow, that's ironic. Wow.
Yeah, and I really like, I really, really like Denver. So, I mean, I don't know. At this point, I don't know.
Well, I like Denver, and I like Indianapolis. I mean, I like Denver, I like Indianapolis, and actually, I like the Patriots, and I like Indianapolis. Something about Indianapolis, they just, Luck just seems to always have this will to win. He brings them back.
Right.
Same thing this weekend.
I like the Colts, but I got this personal beef with them because I'm originally from Baltimore.
They
came in the middle of the night, a blizzard. They came in the middle of the night during a blizzard, and they took everything. They took the team. So I kind of have the personal beef when it comes to that. But
okay,
like the team. I really do.
I remember looking at it on ESPN. But let me ask you, being from Baltimore, was it as devastating as ESPN made it out to be?
It was. People lined up out there when they found out what that was going on, because they came in the middle of the night in a blizzard. And when it leaked that was what was going on, they had these big semi-trucks out there and stuff, people lined up, and they had to set the whole area down because people were lined up. They weren't getting out of Baltimore with our stuff.
Wow.
It was for real. It was cool. People didn't play. People did not play Baltimore Colts, you know.
When they showed the whole thing on ESPN, I was like, yo, because when they showed the blizzard, they showed the Mayfair moving vans and the trucks and all that. And I'm like, who does that? Who moves the team?
Had they come during the day, Baltimore folks would have probably shot them up or something. They did not. I'm serious. I will say,
you being a Green Bay fan in Seattle, that is very... It's kind of brave, I must say.
Let me tell you, I have won quite a bit of money on my Packers.
Don't get it twisted now. Seattle looking real good right now.
Look great. Russell Wilson, I give them major props. It's a young team, and they they do major things for the city, let alone, you know, what they do on the field. They definitely, I give them props for it.
So that is true.
I always called them the sea chickens. For 20 years, I've called them the sea chicken. But I made a promise last year, if they made it to the Super Bowl, they didn't have to win, but if they made it to the Super Bowl, I would never, ever call them the sea chickens again. So I can't, you know, I don't do that anymore. But
they're a great team. Russell has the same amount of rings as Aaron Rodgers has.
I know, but Aaron Rodgers is the man. You gotta admit when it comes to quarterback.
I got it. Yo, this system is flawless. It is flawless. There's nothing quite like, I don't think anybody in the NFL runs a more simplistic system than the Packers, because it's not like Peyton, where you put on this big show or all of these signals and all of these checks and hand checks. Man, Rodgers turned and he say, 13-13-39 hike, and they hike the ball. Is that simple?
Well, what amazes me with him is he just pulls his arm back and he throws it, and where he throws it is where it goes. And
absolutely.
That, like you say, it's simple.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so...
It's a thing of beauty to watch, Ashley Jane. I actually watched last night's game, and they showed the stats of his, you know, with how few interceptions he's had. It's amazing.
Career. Yeah, he's phenomenal. He truly is.
36-0.
And I definitely would sit him because, like you say, he's young,
mm-hmm.
and you take a chance of him never being able to play again. With
absolutely.
That
I mean, if he's your guy, if he's your franchise guy, then you
right.
can't play him. You can't play him.
Right.
It's not like It's not like it's not like we're talking about Mark Ripken or something.
And it's not like they're like really so close to winning, you know. So.
Yeah, they're two games back. They're two games back with three to go.
Yeah.
Nothing against the young lady we spoke to previously, but dude,
there's
only three
love
games left.
Her. Thanks.
Yeah, it's too late. You sit him down. Let him stay. Let him chill. Yeah. Let him stay home. Let him get himself together because you don't want to end up with an RG3.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Exactly.
I agree. But I'm not going to stay on long. I wanted to call Antonia and support you, and I love the show. Is it going to be on every week? Or?
Absolutely.
Every Tuesday, 8 to 9.
Well, you know I'm on the West Coast, so I'll be here at 5.
Well, love, we love to have you. Join the party. We love to have you.
All right, well, I'm going to get off now because I'm not feeling so hot today. But
oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you feel better.
Okay.
Yeah, I had my radiation treatment today, so, yeah, I'm a little on the downside. But
Jane, you know,
I love you, and we so appreciate your support. She is
absolutely.
One of our all-time supporters, Jazz. We absolutely love Jane here at Ride and Royalty.
Absolutely.
Some kind of trouble, or I'd be in the middle of somebody's trouble.
Hey. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
All right, Deb, it's good talking to you.
You too. You have a good evening. Feel better, hon, okay?
Yeah, feel better. Absolutely.
Thank you. Go Packers.
Go Packers, exactly. Go Packers.
All right, later. Bye.
Later.
Bye. She is so sweet. She's one of our all-time supporters, as well as Arthur Lanier, our previous caller. You know, we love to support, and we support everybody.
Absolutely.
We had two passionate women on the phone, ripping their teams. With Arthur Lanier, with her Saints, and Miss Jay with her Packers, and
hey,
you with your what was that team again you had?
Yeah, it was the Oakland Raiders. It's cool though. It's cool though. You know what? They got just as many wins as the Knicks. How about that?
Oh, that was low, Jack. That was low.
I you know what? I thank you guys so much for I thank you guys so much, and I'm loving this for real. This is what's up.
Well, I'm glad. We are glad. Well, once again, you're listening to The Scoreboard with Jazz and Tony. Like I said earlier, we're here every Tuesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So please set your reminders. And once again, call in and rep your team. And with this, Jazz, we're going to say good night. Do you want to have any parting words for our listeners?
Fight coming on this weekend. Terrence Crawford fighting. There's a storm. So if you are a fan of boxing, check out the fight. It's going to be on HBO. Check it out.
And once again, what's your Twitter account, Jazz?
My Twitter is MrJazz620 at Twitter. And what is yours, Miss Tony?
Mine is Mrs. Tony_Doe. Follow me, and I will follow you back. Once again, thank you so much for calling in and supporting The Scoreboard with Tony and Jazz. Until next
Absolutely.
Week, don't forget, we're on Ride and Royalty tomorrow, our regular scheduled Wednesday night show, 7
to 9.
Might
check that out. They might check that out.
Absolutely, Jazz. You got to check us out. We going crazy. You better jump on the bandwagon.
Hey, I'm telling you, I'm late to the party, but I'm the bomb when I get there.
Okay, that's all good. Once again, thanks everyone for calling in, and we're going to say good night.
Good night.